Now this is sections from Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 2. It describes how Narada Muni had darshan of Krishna one time. And one purport, Krishna Chakravartipati explains 14 steps to see God. So firstly, these 14 steps, what he explains in one purport is 14 steps to see God. And these steps are explained in First Canto, chapter 2, verse 16 through 20. So if we look at those verses, these are the famous verses of Bhagavatam that explain basically how one comes from faith to prema, from Shraddha to prema, how he gets Shraddha, faith, and how he becomes fixed in devotion, and how he gets eventually comes to the platform above, where he's so pure in mind and heart that Krishna is so happy that he reveals himself. So we can read those verses, and then we'll go back. We'll mention. This is verse 16. Verse 16 is like this. Shushu sho shadadanasya vasudeva katavruji snyat manhat snyan mahat sevya vipra punya tirtha nishevanat. These are very famous verses of the Bhagavatam. Next verse is Srimatam Sakata Krishna Punya Shravana. Next verse is Nashta Prayesho Bhadreshu. Right? So they're all related. This is almost like the essence of Bhagavatam. So in these first two verses, at least in this verse 16, it explains, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. So some people say, I don't like to read. I have no attraction for reading or studying. And when I read, I fall asleep. And I have no time. And even when I read, I feel so tired. So then this is the key. It's given that you serve Vasudeva Kataruchi, Mahatsevaya Vipra. If you render service to the devotees, then you can get it. You can get their mercy, and their mercy will come by within your mind, within your heart, you'll get an attraction to these topics of Krishna Katha. So this is this is called Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. Vishnath, he has 14 steps he explains in his purport to verse 21 in this series. I'm discussing verse 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. So we'll just read the whole series of verses and then we'll go back. So this verse is talking about Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti, developing Sukriti. So these are the steps which lead up to getting initiated and practicing Bhakti Bhajan, getting free from anarthas, becoming steady, and then getting taste, and then attachment, and then bhava, then prema. This is the whole adoshara tata sarasanga bhajan kriya anartha nivritita nishtata tautruji. So this first verse, it talks about serving devotees. So if you serve them, then you get their mercy. The word is there, punya tirtha nishevanat. You become cleansed of all misgivings. So in this verse, he uses, this is satam kripa, mahatseva. So this verse describes the mercy of devotees, and you get the mercy of devotees by serving them. And the result of serving them is that you get some faith. You get Shraddha. Shushu sho shraddhanasya. You get faith in the Shastra when you serve the devotees. Now we don't have any much attraction, kata ruchi, we don't have taste or attraction. And nor do we have faith. Like your sister was saying, well, how can I believe these Shastras? How can I believe they're perfect? So, if you want to know something beyond your sense perception, then you have to accept authority. How can we believe the scientists? We haven't seen or heard half the things they tell us, but we accept them as authority, so then we read our books and accept and we believe them. So transcendence in God is all beyond our perception. So the realized souls, they've seen God and they've realized, so then they're writing. So we have to accept. to see beyond our vision, we ought to accept those that have seers of the truth. So another principle that works is to actually have service, do service to devotees. Then you get the mercy, and then your faith will develop. So this is Shraddha. Seva. So first you get Sukriti, Bhakti on Mukhi Sukriti. This is a type of piety which turns your face towards God. Turning your face towards God means turning your face towards the Shastra, because God is a Shastra. He's in the Shastra. He's revealed in the Shastra. So you read the Shastra, then you'll get more, you serve the devotees, then you get Punya, and that Punya translates into faith in Shastra, and then you can get some taste when you read it, and you get inspired, and then you start to gain transcendental knowledge. So then the next verse is, Shunvatam Sakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyantaksto Yubhadrani Virunoti Sarichitam. Krishna is explaining here that when you actually hear, he says the translation, Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is a Paramatma in everyone's heart, and a benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his message, which are in themselves virtuous and properly heard and chanted. So Riddhi Antak Sto Yabhadrani. Riddhi Antak Sto. Krishna is standing inside in the heart. And when he sees that someone has faith in the Shastra and he starts to read them with interest and enthusiasm, then he becomes very happy. He increases the taste, increases the attraction, and then he reciprocates with that person because the Shastra is transcendental knowledge. Shastra is Krishna. And when you hear associated with the Shastra, you're associating directly with Krishna, you become purified. So he's explaining in these two verses, it takes one in his commentary in verse 21, these 14 steps. The first step is Satam Kripa, mercy of devotees. That's in the previous verse. You get their mercy by serving them. The second step is Mahat Seva. And the proof that you got their mercy is that they let you do service. You get to do service. One service is to hear Harikatha from them, or to wash their plates, like Narada Muni washed their plates and cleaned up after them during Chaturmasya. So that was their Seva, Mahat Seva. And then the combination of their mercy and their Seva, one gets Shraddha. So first, Satam Kripa, mercy of devotees and service to them, this increases our Sukriti, our Punya. As our Punya increases more and more, then our faith in devotees increases and our faith in God increases. Then the next thing is Guru Padashraya. So first is Shraddha, because Bhakti begins with Shraddha, it says in Nectar Devotional Dho, Shraddha Tata Sarvasanga, and then Sarvasanga. So Sarvasanga really means Guru Sangha, because Guru is the ultimate sadhu. Oftentimes it says sadhu sangha, sharva sastra hoy, lavamatra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. Then one gets all perfection by associating with sadhu. That means by guru. Hearing from guru, serving guru, shiksha guru and diksha guru, really. Otherwise there's so many sadhus. Because if you just go to some class and hear from some saintly person, then he's a shiksha guru. So sadhu really means guru in this case. So he says his first step is Satam Kripa, second step is Matsevam. That's all punya, Bhakti Mukhi Sukriti. Then the third step is Shraddha, and that's the beginning of Bhakti. Shraddha is the basis of Bhakti, faith. Faith in Guru, and more importantly, faith in Shastra. Because before Guru comes, and Krishna comes, Shastra comes. If we have no faith in Shastra, then we can't go forward to Guru or Krishna. Because going to Guru and Krishna means receiving Shastra from Guru. And when one receives and understands and realizes Shastra, then he realizes Krishna. So it's so important to gain faith in Shastra, Shastriya, Shraddha. So that's the third step, Shraddha. Then the fourth step is Guru Padashraya. Our faith will increase so much that we want to take shelter at the Guru's feet. And then Bhajanesha Spriha, eagerness to worship Krishna. And this is told in this verse, Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna. That one starts hearing about Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna, Krishna Kata. He starts hearing it and relishing it, and he starts getting purified, and that's called bhajan, bhajanakriya. That's step number 5. There's 14 steps. And then the sixth step is bhakti. Bhakti means bhajana kriya. This fifth and sixth step, bhajanesha spriya, means eagerness to worship Krishna, and that produces bhakti. And that's all comes under bhajana kriya. Because when bhakti, as we worship Krishna and study and serve Guru and Mahants or great devotees, then Bhakti Devi descends in the heart and develops and grows in the heart, the Bhakti Lata. Then, Nashta Parishu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevya Bhagavati Tamashloki Bhaktir Bhavati Nashloki. So this is the seventh step. This is, in this verse, three things are told. Bhakti comes, right? And what kind of bhakti? Then also says, anartha apagama, disappearance of obstacles. That means anartha nivritti. And then nishta. So this verse, nashta pareshu abhadreshu, which we sing every day before Bhagavatam class, this is saying that by regularly serving Bhagavats, devotees, and by regularly hearing Bhagavatam, that's why it's so important every day to read something of Bhagavatam, just a page or something. And regularly hearing Bhagavatam, then three things happen. One thing is that we develop bhakti, and we get abhadrani, inauspicious things, and the bad qualities in our heart disappear. And we start developing good qualities, saintly qualities, tolerance, peacefulness, purity, sense control, and compassion, and broad-mindedness, and all very good qualities develop. And then, because that's anartha-nivritti, because all the obstacles, they go away. Nashta-priyesha-abhadreshu. All that is abhadra becomes nashta, destroyed. And then nishta, naishtiki-bhakti. So this verse is telling three steps of Vishnu's 14 steps to seeing God. Someone says, oh, I want to see God. And oftentimes people challenge devotees, I want to see God. Can you show me God? And we say, yes, we can show you God in 14 steps. Are you willing to take 14 steps? You take so many steps to go to the movie theater and so many steps to go to the liquor shop and the whiskey shop and so many steps to go to work and go to the beauty parlor and go to the dress shop. But you only have to take 14 steps to see God. Right? Satam Kripa, get the mercy of devotees by serving them. Mahatseva, service to devotees. Shraddha, Guru Parashraya. Bhajan, Bhajaneshu Spriha, eagerness to worship Krishna. Bhakti, devotion comes. Anartha Pakama, disappearance of obstacles, which means Sarusanga means Shraddha, Sarusanga, Bhajana Kriya, and Anartha Nivritti. Then after Anartha Nivritti, Tata Nishta, steadiness. Now after this, then comes the next verse, which is text 19. Tada Rajastamo Bhava, Kama Loba Dayashchaye, Cheta Itaranavidam, Stitam Sattve Prasidati. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's mode of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. It's called the Brahmavuta platform. So here, this is called Ruchi. This isn't called Ruchi. Ruchi is here in this verse 19. And also asakti. So the eighth step is nishta, the ninth step is ruchi, and the tenth step is asakti, firm attachment. So this comes, it gets free from the lower modes of nature, passion, ignorance. It comes established in goodness, is very happy. Then verse 20. Evam prasana manaso bhagavat bhakti yogatam bhagavat tapta vijnana mukta sangasya jayate. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in a stage of liberation from all material association. Prasanna manasa, the mind becomes joyful. very blissful because he knows Bhakta Tattva Vigyan, Mukta Sangasya, and by that he becomes liberated. He knows the scientific knowledge of the Lord, becomes united with the Lord in devotion. And this is called Rati, fondness. Rati means bhav, atra sakti kans bhav. And this verse also describes prema. Because Bhagavat Tattva Vigyan, Mukta Sangasya, no one can get liberated unless they come to the platform of prema. So this is indicated here. This bhakti yoga brings one this realization of the Bhagavat Tattva. Realization of the Bhagavat Tattva, the truth, the spiritual truth of Krishna. Realization means to see the Lord. And to see the Lord means to have, at least for the devotee, because it says bhakti yogataha. It says Bhagavat bhakti yogataha. Yoga means connection. He becomes connected with the Lord. And this is the established platform of love. And then this verse and next verse, it says, Atta Darshanam, then vision, audience. So this is the 12th step. 10th is the Sakti, then Rati, then Prema, then Darshanam, and Harer, Madhuryanubhava, Anubhavas. Different ecstatic symptoms follow the awakening of Stayibhav and Vibhav, called Anubhav, and then Sattvic Bhavs and Vyavachari Bhavs. And they all combine together, produce Bhakti Rasa, one of the five ratis. So this verse is there. Then the next verse is verse 21. This is describing the darshan. This is the progression for anyone. Vidyate vidya grantish chidyante sarvasam samshayaha shiyante chasyakaramani dristva evat manishvare. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruit of action is terminated when one sees the self as master. So therefore, at this level, this verse is telling darshan. One sees the self. It says, Vidyate vidya grantish chidyante sarvasamshaya shyante chasi karma dristva evat manishvare. Dristva means to see. Ishvara, dristva, ishvara, he sees the ishvara. He sees the self as master. It says he sees the self as master. But the self as master means the super self. The super soul, the paramatma, he is the master. And he has atma darshan. He sees himself, the soul, and he sees Paramatma. So these are the 14 steps that are described in verses chapter 2, first canto, verse 16 through 21, which describe everything from bhakti unmukhi sukriti, spiritual sukriti, from the starting point of sukriti to the final point of hari darshan. There's 14 points. And they're very nicely described in these verses. Now the practical experience of seeing the Lord, because this is, it's called tattva vichar then lila vichar. So this is the tattva that's explained in chapter 2, that this is how it happens with everybody. Now someone might say, well, is there any proof? Is there any history, any proof of someone that saw the Lord or had this experience? Well, the proof is there in chapter 6, Narada Muni's discussions with Vyasadeva. And Narada Muni is a disciple of Vyasadeva. Narada Muni is the guru of Vyasadeva. And he describes to his guru how he saw God. So certainly guru is very happy. If a disciple sees God, that means it's like graduation. Your bhakti is matured. And it's come to the perfect level where you're actually seeing God. Then it's considered mature. Otherwise, it's not. So this is it. This is considered the perfection of devotion. So, Narada Muni is an example of that. And then he describes himself, that sequence. how he saw Krishna. It's very interesting, actually. So these are the verses. This progression, because I was saying, I'm calling this section 14 Steps to Seeing Krishna. This is given by Vishnu Chakravarti in First Canto of Bhagavatam, Chapter 2, Verse 21 in his Tika. Progression ending with direct experience of Lord's sweetness. Because the 13th step was vision, audience, to see the Lord, darshanam, which verse number 20 and 21 explain. Verse 20 explains the sweetness of the Lord. That this is Hari Madhurya Anubhav. When we experience the sweetness of the Lord, then we'll transform our consciousness and we'll experience different ecstatic symptoms in our life. And that's the perfection of devotion. So Narada Muni in chapter 6 of First Kanda Bhagavatam, he's describing after his mother died, he took this as mercy of the Lord, and then he started traveling. And he went through towns and villages and farms, and he traveled everywhere. Nurseries and gardens and all over the place. And then he went through deep forests, and it showed that he was fearless because those forests were full of jackals and dangerous animals. But he was depending on the Lord as a mendicant. So he's seeing God everywhere, and he was fearless. And he became tired, and he took some water. It's very interesting, he sat under a peepal tree. Because oftentimes, at least in Braj, they associate peepal trees with Lakshmi Narayan. Mm-hmm. In the old Radhakrishna temple, they say that peepal tree is Lakshmi Narayan. People worship that tree. Of course, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Brikshoham, something like Brikshoham people, something like
that.
Yeah, Ashwat. Ashwat Brikshoham. And the Ashwat means people. It's a common language, we say people. Mm-hmm. But it's in the Banyan family, so it's people tree is in the Banyan family, or Ashwat. So Krishna is saying, I am the Ashwat tree. So it makes sense. People say that people tree is Lakshmi Narayan. So, I like that. So this verse is explaining in verse 15, it explains like this. He's explaining what happened. He's sitting under a peepal tree. Tasmin nirmanuje ranye peepalau pashta ashrita atman atmanam atmashtam yata shutam achintayam. He's saying, under the shadow of a banyan tree in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the super soul within, using my intelligence as I had learned from liberated souls. So this is what he had learned. He's telling this, he's narrating all this to Vyasadeva, who's his disciple. It's very interesting, because he's narrating to his disciple how he became liberated, or how he had darshan, which indicates that the guru himself was sadhana siddha. Right? Because some gurus are nitya siddha, they come from the spiritual plane, and they're situated as siddhas, you can say uttamadhikaris or whatever, mahabhagavats, and they come down to the madhyam platform to initiate and train others, teach. And some people, they're like anishtas, and they rise to madhyam, then they also teach. So Narada Muni, he was, at least in this incarnation, he was a son of a Sujani, and he did sadhana, just like we described in the second chapter. He did the same thing. He associated with those devotees. And then he served them for 4 months in the rainy season, right? And he got Sukriti, and they liked him, and he got their mercy. So then they gave him instructions. Continuing on the discussion about the 14 points of seeing Krishna, mentioned by Vishnu Chakravartipad in the first canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 2, in his text of 21, And we describe those 14 points beginning with Sukriti, developed by associating with sadhus and serving them, and then going on to getting Shraddha and taking shelter of Guru because of that Shraddha, faith in Vaishnavas and faith in Bhakti itself, and faith in Shastra and Krishna. Then once one enters the Guru, Guru Parashraya, and begins bhajan, bhajana kriya, nartha nivritti, and becomes free from bad qualities, nashya prayesha, bhadreshu, then he becomes nartha nivritti, then steady, then he gets taste for devotion. And then, so that's the tattva, that's the philosophy, the gyan. So what's the realization of that gyan? There's a story by the story of Narada Muni himself, which he's narrating to Vyasadeva, which is a very interesting story. This is in chapter 6 of the first canto, where he's telling his disciple how he became self-realized. Like a disciple might say, well, Guruji, how did you become self-realized? Have you seen God? And if you have, then you can tell them how it happened. And if you haven't, then you can say, well, like Prabhupada was asked the same question several times by reporters. Swamiji, have you seen God? And Prabhupada said, if I say yes, then how will you know? And if I say no, how will you know? Is there any way for you to verify whether what I'm saying is, whether I'm lying or whether it's true or not? So this is so it's really, the question is not so relevant to you as a person. If I've seen God, what if I say yes, I've seen God, and that's great for me, but how does it help you? And if I say no, then what is the benefit? Either way is no benefit to you. So whether you should ask questions, how can I get free from death? Death is all around me, and death is waiting to grab me at any moment. Is there any way I can get free from death? So the story of Narada Muni is very interesting because he's explaining, yes, yes, disciple, yes, Vyasadeva, I was a sadhaka, I was a conditioned soul, I was a son of Sudrani, then I served great mahants during the Chaturmasya, and I got their mahant kripa, and then I got faith in them, and devotees in general, and God, and in the path of bhakti. Then I searched everywhere for God, and following the teachings and instructions they had given me, and chanting mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and other mantras they told me, and eventually I had darshan, and that's what he's telling in these verses. I had darshan of the Lord as the fruit of my meditation. So then he became self-realized. He became qualified to be the guru. He became a tatvadarshan. Tavidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevya vidikshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshana. One has to see the truth. And there's different ways you can see the philosophy. When it's actually seeing the truth means seeing the personality of Godhead, because he is the fullest manifestation of the absolute truth. Vedanti tat tatvavidas yad tat gyanam advayam brahmati paramatmati bhagavanati shabhyate. Vedantis, knowers, those who know the Veda, know the end of the Vedas, Vedantis, those who actually know the Vedas, they have concluded the absolute truth can be understood in three forms: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan iti shabhyate. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. So he's telling a whole setting. Here's how it goes. Yesterday, I was wandering through the jungles, and I was wandering through the forest, and there were tigers and snakes and jackals. And it's very dangerous. But then one day, I sat under the shadow of a peepal tree. Tasmin nirmanu je ranye anaranya nirmanu nirman mananuju. There was no man, there was no people with me. I was all alone. People of pashta ashita. I took shelter. I sat underneath in the middle of that forest, in that dangerous jungle. I sat under a peepal tree. Krishna says, I'm all the trees and the peepal tree. So that tree itself is representing Bhagavan. It's his vibhuti. God is actually there. And he tells, and then Narada said, after that, under the shade of a banyan tree, specifically a peepal tree, in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the super soul situated within using my intelligence. Atman atmanam atman atmastam yata shutam achintayan. As I had learned from liberated souls, yata shutam achintayan. So he continually thought over what he had heard. Shutam, what he had heard from those liberated souls. It was Mahabhagavat that he served for 4 months. He had 4 months continuous association. He heard from them regularly. So they gave many instructions on bhajan, on sambandha gyan, and avideya, and prayojan. And now he's putting it all into practice after his mother died. He basically took sannyas and started wandering all around. So now the next verse. Dayatashcharanam bhojam bhava nirjita chetasa outkantyashu kalakshashya ridyasin meshaner hari. Bhava nirjita. I started meditating charanambhojam upon the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead in my heart. And I became transformed. By that meditation, I became transformed. Bhava nirjita chetasa. All my chitta, all my mental activities, thinking, feeling, willing, they became full of bhav. And then, outkantashru. Outkanta means great eagerness, or utkanta. Great eagerness. I developed so much intense eagerness. And tears were rolling, and great eagerness, and that eagerness, and that great overwhelming feelings were rising in my heart through the absorption of meditation. I became very eager to see the Lord. And I could just feel that He was around the corner. I could see Him. I started crying in anticipation, crying and wailing and weeping. And my consciousness became transformed. Tears rolled down from my eyes. And without delay, Ridyasin me shaner hari. Shane means without delay. As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the personality of God and in my heart, my mind became transformed in transcendental love, bhav, bhava nirjita, chetasa. My chaitana, my mind, my consciousness. Tears rolled down my eyes, and without delay, the personality of God and Sri Krishna appeared on the lotus of my heart. The word bhava, this stage, bhava stage is attained after one has transcendental affection for the Lord. The initial stage is shraddha, or a liking for the Supreme Lord. And in order to increase that liking, one has to associate with pure devotees of the Lord. The third stage is the practice of rules and regulations of devotional service. That means bhajana kriya. This will dissipate all sorts of misgivings and remove all personal deficiencies that hamper progress in devotional service. This is Prabhupada's way of saying anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti means dissipate all sorts of misgivings, doubts, confusions, fears, and remove all personal deficiencies that hamper progress in devotional service. It's a very interesting definition of anartha nivritti. When all misgivings and personal deficiencies are removed, there is standard faith in transcendental matter. It's called nishtha. Prabhupada's translating nishtha as standard faith in transcendental matter. This stage leads to attraction. Standard faith in transcendental matter, and the taste for it increases in greater proportion. That's very nice. The taste for it increases in greater proportion. That's ruchi. This stage of ruchi, increased taste, leads to attraction. That's asakti, attachment or attraction. And after this, there is bhava, or the prior stage of unalloyed love for God. All the above different stages are but different stages of development of transcendental love. Being so surcharged with transcendental love, there comes a strong feeling of separation, which leads to eight different kinds of ecstasies, ashta sattvic bhavs. Tears from the eyes of a devotee is an automatic reaction, and because Sri Narada Muni in his previous birth had attained that stage, very quickly after his departure from home, it's quite possible for him to perceive the actual presence of the Lord, which he tangibly experienced by the developed spiritual senses without material tinge. Very wonderful purports. So it's probably indicating that he had, from his previous life, he was extremely advanced. That's why he got a 4-month refresher course during Chaturmasya with the great devotees, and that was sufficient for him to feel separation. Prabhupada is indicating these tears in this verse number 16 in chapter 6 of Canto 1. It's saying outkantyashru kalakshasya aksha, eyes, that in separation one becomes very eager. One is separated from God, and one knows, he knows of God, and he's aware that God is in my heart, and he's everywhere. And then he develops his feelings for the Lord and his knowledge of God, and he becomes very much feeling separated because he hasn't seen him. He wants to see him, and in that separation, he may cry in separation. He becomes very eager. Eager for what? Eager to see that person he's heard so much about. Eager to see that person he's glorified so much and prayed to so much and felt so much reciprocation from in his prayers and in his life. He becomes very, very utkanta, very, very eager. And that eagerness melts the heart, and as the heart melts, he develops a mood of purvarag, or intense prior love before meeting. This purvarag is like a purvaragavas of the actual purvarag in the spiritual world, which is a type of separation between the parishads and the Lord, premashraya and premavishaya. But it's in, as a sadhaka, he develops this intense separation where he knows this Lord, he's learned about this Lord, the tattvas, he's prayed to the Lord, he's seen the forms of the Lord, the archamurtis of the Lord, he's visited the Lord's abode, he's thought constantly of the Lord and heard constantly about the Lord. And now he feels there's something missing in his life, something is empty in his life, and that emptiness is that yugayudam nameshina chakshusha pravishayudam. That I must see the Lord. Where is this Lord? I have to see the Lord. I can't live without seeing the Lord. And he becomes very, very eager. And that eagerness to see the Lord it melts the heart, and it's different bhavas come. A different feel, and one of the sattvic bhavas is tears. So Prabhupada is indicating that Narada Muni's tears in separation from the super soul or from the Lord of the heart whom he was meditating on, those tears indicate his sattvic bhavas, which means he had approached the threshold of prema. Shivigrahara dana nityananda shingaratan mandir marjananda yutasya bhaktam chandina. What does it say? We say Mahaprabhu kirtana nitya gita viditramadhyal manasarasena romancha kampa sutaranga bhajo. That the guru, he's engaged in Mahaprabhu kirtan, he's glorifying Mahaprabhu's sankirtan. Mahaprabhu's sankirtan means gopi kirtan, means gopi gita. The gopis crying in separation from Krishna, chapter 31 of the Bhagavatam. This is gopi gita, gopi kirtan. Mahaprabhu kirtan anita gita. And he's dancing in the ecstasy, that inner rising of ecstasy in his heart makes his legs dance. This is Mahabhav. Mahaprabhu kirtan anita gita vaditra madhyan manasorasena. And in his mind he's relishing different rasas, different flavors of bhakti ras. And consequently feeling intense separation from Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan, and Mahaprabhu's Rasaraj Mahabha, Radharani and Krishna, then he starts crying. And his hair stands up on end, and he feels quivering in his body, trembling in his body. Romancha Kampa Ashu, Taranga Bhajo. Taranga Bhajo, and these come in waves, like Taranga, they come in waves due to his bhajan. So Narada Muni, he's experiencing Bhav. He's meditating on the Lord in this verse, and then he's bhava nirjitachetasaha, and he's seeing the Lord. Then the next verse he explains, oh Vyasadeva, premati bhara nirvana, pulak ango tinivrita, ananda samplave lino, napashyam ubayam mune. Oh, Vyasadeva, at that time being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. So now it says, Prem Atibhara Nirvana. So a Nirvana means, now the previous verse is Bhav. And separation, because Bhav often, this Bhava, Asakti Bhava and Prema. So the state of bhava, development of devotion to the goal of Krishna praying, prema pramartha mahan. The development of bhava, this is a separation mode. This is separation stage. One feels intense separation, and prema, there's meeting. So he's crying, and then the next verse, first he's describing his own progression. He's saying bhava. I was doing meditation, I was wandering, I was doing my sadhana, I was doing my meditation. I was following the Shruti, what I had heard from the gurus, chanting my mantra, meditating, that I came to the state of bhav, became transformed, feeling separation, crying, and eagerness. Then I went immediately, because bhava immediately follows prema very fast. I came to prema, and it was not an ordinary prema, it was atibhara. heavily laden, heavy praying, Atibhara. Pulaka, feeling Anga Pulaka. This is the hair standing in and all over my body. And Ati Nivrita, overwhelmed, Ananda. Samplave. Samplave means ocean. Lina means absorb. Actually, Samplave means to be submerged. Samplave. I was submerged in this bliss. Ananda Samplave means I was submerged in bliss, basically. I was drowning in bliss in every part of my body. And Napashyam Ubayam Mune. I couldn't see anything. Love is blind. Love made me blind. And I saw the Lord. I lost all contact. Oh, Vyasadeva, at that time, I became so overpowered by feelings of happiness, Ananda, bliss, loving bliss, Premananda. Every part of my body being separately enlivened, being absorbed in the ocean of ecstasy, Ananda Samplave. I couldn't see myself or the Lord. So spiritual feelings of happiness and intense ecstasies have no mundane comparison. Therefore, it is very difficult to give expression to such feelings. We can just have a glimpse of such ecstasy in the words of Sri Narada Muni. Each and every part of the body or senses has its particular function. After seeing the Lord, all the senses become fully awakened to render service unto the Lord. Because in the liberated state, the senses are fully efficient in serving the Lord. As such, in that transcendental ecstasy, it so happened, the senses became separately enlivened to serve the Lord. This being so, Narada Muni lost himself in seeing both himself and the Lord simultaneously. It's a really beautiful exchange. So it's really very intimate. He's saying, listen, I became Sadhana Siddhi. Of course, ultimately it's Kripa Siddhi because his Mahabhagavas blessed him. And his mercy from his previous life, his guru in his previous life, and his previous sadhana. So ultimately everything's Kripa Siddhi, but the progression appears to be Sadhana Siddhi. I did my sadhana, I rose through the states of bhava, then I came to prema, so I attained perfection. So this is perfection. So then Vyasadeva can get encouraged, and we can all get encouraged, because we're the readers of Bhagavatam, we're just beginning the Bhagavatam. We've only crossed over 6 chapters, and we're hearing about the life story of Narada Muni to drive us on, to egg us on, to push us on, to encourage us. That, oh yes, you became perfect by sadhana, and you served devotees, and you heard from devotees. I'm also serving devotees, and I'm also hearing from devotees and serving them. So by chance, I can also become perfect. I can also rise in the platform of Nishtha and Bhava and Prema. This I can hope for. And I can also pray to Narada Muni. Oh, you did it. You made it. It's like you go to school, you meet somebody, sometimes the toppers and the graduates that come back to the school. They said, yes, I went to the school, now I'm working for IBM in Gurgaon. I'm getting 3 lakhs a year in computer programming. They come back and they give pep talks to the students to show the glories of the school and then encourage people to keep pushing on through all these useless subjects. Yes, you too can get a job like me. Of course, 10,000 people graduate from that college. Only one guy got a job. The other 9,000 are driving taxis. But nevertheless, they get encouraged or bewildered or whatever. But we can all have the same success. And Bhagavatam guarantees this. This is not an empty scripture. Pratyaksha bhagamam dharmyam. This dharma is pratyaksha. It's realized, perceived, attainable. Within reach of everyone. So Narada Muni is a classic example of someone who made it. He made it. He attained perfection. He did it. I can do it also. And he's not an adult who has a PhD or an MA or an MBA or anything. He's just a kid with no mother and father. Doesn't even have a family. They all, mother, father died before he was born. Mother has died of a snake bite. So he's just a kid. So anybody can attain a perfection. You don't have to wait for 60,000 years of meditation, like Ashtanga Yoga or Vishramita Muni. He meditated so long and he still didn't make it. Narada Muni is a young child, but by Bhakti Bhajan, by Bhagavad Bhajan and Bhakti Bhajan, he attained perfection. So there's great hope here and great encouragement in the story of Narada Muni. Rupam Bhagavato Yattan, this is verse 18. Rupam Bhagavato Yattan Mana Kantam Shuchapaham Apashyan Sahasotaste Vaiklavya Dharmanaiva. The transcendental form of the Lord, as it is, satisfies the mind's desire and at once erases all mental incongruities. Upon losing that form, I suddenly got up, being perturbed as usual when one loses that which is desirable. So he had attained $1 million and was in his hand. He was looking at it and smelling the gold and running it through his fingers. And the next minute he turned around and it was gone. Somebody snatched it. So he attained the greatest of all treasures, Sakshat Darshan. He attained Sakshat Darshan of Bhagavan Hari, Chaturbhuj Narayan. But then he lost it. He had the greatest fortune, the greatest treasure in his eyes, in his heart, Mahanidhi. Then, blink of an eye, he saw, and a blink of an eye, he was lost.